continue.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. This is Bill.
Thanks,
signing
Bill.
You in for what's about to be a wild ride.
Hey, what's up, Bill?
Who are you? What's your name?
I'm Johnny. How are you, Hammy?
Yeah, mate, I'm Tommy. I'm feeling good. Good to be back here at Crappy Cannon HQ.
Bloody oath. And what are we doing here today, Tommy? What's up?
Stories.
Boys, it's stories. And it's Blade Runner. Watch that beer, mate. That's still cool. Blade Runner. The
1984. It feels like earlier. 82.
It was like an eternity ago.
Oh man,
is it pre
before Ridley Scott?
It's
lost
definitely
his
post Alien.
Pre Y2K, I believe.
Definitely pre Y2K. If it's in the '80s,
yeah,
got to
show.
Don't. But
Blade.
We're doing Blade Runner, but what are we doing to Blade Runner?
What do we do in our stories? They come here for the stories. You can listen to anyone talk about Blade Runner.
You look at that video
Leonard
set.
Moulton.
Fuck, Hamilton.
Kawhi Leonard.
You look
Leonard.
At that
Roger
video
Moore.
Sample.
He's dead.
He's dead.
He's not dead.
Who's the other one? Who's the more I'm thinking of? The Roger guy?
Oh, Roger
Goodell.
Moore.
Who's the guy? Yeah, maybe this Roger Moore. He is dead, isn't he?
Bond.
No, I'm not thinking of Roger Moore.
I don't know what you're talking about. Just introduce the
Roger
podcast.
Rabbit.
Not Roger Moore. Alright, yeah, so we watch a film. Then
what happens is you get Blade Runner up on that screen. You say enhance and zoom 325.
Yeah.
It zooms in. You're like, this is no good, and you make your own
zoom
story
out.
In the universe.
This is Bill's only reference to the movie.
It's the only thing he remembers from the movie.
No, I watched this film earlier.
Yeah,
this
afternoon. He did watch it.
I know, he's
he
watched
did watch
it probably more recently than us.
Talking about that, what version did we watch? Bruce?
Final Cut.
Blu-ray.
He also had Final Cut on Blu-ray.
It was definitely Final Cut?
Yeah.
Okay.
The original cut has like Harrison Ford narrating it, and generally is considered not as good.
Really?
Yeah. So they tried to tried to make it less
that changes it hugely.
They tried to make it less ambiguous for the audience.
So like, you know,
during the original cut, it was less
you know,
in
like
the
theatrical
shots,
release.
It was very ambiguous.
I would say as an example of like a shot that they would have cut narration out of is when he's intimidating that guy in the shop. Where it's like, who did you sell this snake skin to?
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, like, that clearly was narration over that, but they, like, made it, like, more of an in-the-scene kind of thing.
Yeah, but then the whole thing was that the narration was added afterwards, though.
Mm.
Ridley never wanted the narration, so he just made the film he wanted.
Oh, because my thought was they were doing ADR with Harrison Ford's voice in the shop when you just mentioned that.
No.
They actually filmed
that. No.
No,
they filmed that.
Oh, okay.
But then it got to, like, test viewings, I think, and they were like, well, we need to clear some of this shit up. For viewers, so they put in some ADR.
It's very
Harrison
ambiguous.
Ford.
Mm. I'd like being the first time I've ever watched this movie.
A little
hard.
Ambiguous.
I would
it's hard
say
to understand. It's hard to just understand the meaning behind things. Like I get that. I get everything that happened. It's pretty obvious what happens during the film.
I don't really understand.
I feel like it really served well for a second viewing because I like really appreciated it more.
But
this
would
time
you
around.
Say you appreciate it more because you'd seen the new film and then gone back to it?
I feel like it's because I've seen more analysis on the first one.
Where have you
interesting.
Seen?
Interesting,
oh,
like vids that are just like
I
talking about
anything
it.
Of that. I was meant to, but I didn't.
Nah, understandable. But also, the second one does.
I
also
think
add to
the
it.
Second one definitely does give you more meaning. But I think watching it a second time just does give you a bit more anyway.
You probably know
especially
what to expect as well.
Especially just for the like the character of Roy. Is great on a second viewing.
His character
because
was very.
You kind of go in thinking it's going to be this action. Not action, but like that Roy is going to be this real bad guy.
Mm.
But really, Roy is not like a bad guy.
He just wants
at
to live
all.
A little, man.
He just wants to
does
live.
Kill
and
like
he's like,
people.
He does look.
In the name of living,
pretty gruesomely.
He kills a couple of guys. But haven't we done that? Haven't
but,
we all done that?
I've never done that.
Oh, shit.
Before we get into that, let's just like synopsize the film. All
right, yeah.
So basically, you got your replicants, aka fake humans,
that
are made by Tyrell Corp.
Yep.
And, I like the little. I actually read the blurb at the start for once.
Really? Yeah,
yeah,
it really sets it up.
It did because I usually don't.
And it's always quite worrying. A little word drop on you right at the start of the film. You're like, oh fuck.
But then you got your Blade Runners, aka the cops that are here to kill replicants because they're illegal on planet Earth.
Yep.
They're slaves for like mining off-world stuff.
Yep. I love that we never go off-world.
I know.
That's great.
As well,
just
with
it on
49.
Earth. Keep it on she Earth and Anger.
Shows
well,
you how.
Spoiler.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, which is.
No.
Let's just
turn down on the 49.
Sorry, I'll
stick
to the original.
Let's keep. Yeah,
it's just
I
all
think
about how shitty Earth is.
Pretend I just think pretend it hasn't come out.
All right.
Yeah, no,
you
I
can
agree.
Obviously
I agree.
Reference it, but just.
I agree.
Anyway, further synopsis. 4 replicants come to Earth. No one knows why. Deckard, aka Blade Runner number one.
Han Solo.
Han Solo. Is told by his boss, oi, kill him. Retire them.
It's not really his boss, though.
It's not really his boss because he's out of the game.
He's blackmailed as well.
He's called back in. They're
like, you are the best in the game.
You're the best Blade Runner, we bloody
are. I have a problem with that because it seems like he's really shit at his job.
He does fuck all.
He's not great.
It seems like he's terrible.
That's one of the biggest complaints of the film is that
he's just
Deckard
drunk.
Just kind of like ends up places and kind of just stumbles into things.
Like all he knows is that test. And that's it.
He's not a great shot.
He knows the test and fucking does his shitty voice.
Going into it, you hear about like Blade Runners. It's just like these fucking dudes kill people.
Mm.
How funny is it? There's a contrast. So he's just like working a desk job and it's just like interviewing these people.
I kind of like that element of it.
Yeah, they don't really do much.
The only like real detective work he did was tracking down the one that was working at the strip club.
That's the only time that he actually... watching it the second time, I was like, oh my god, he actually does do some detective work.
Yeah, the problem I have with that is I watched it like disjointed, so I stopped it before that, and I watched it again, and I was like, what is he doing now? And then he puts on that voice, and he's like, hey, I'm the
really the detective voice guy. Well.
And then it's a weird as like scene, because I'm like, what is he doing?
What's his angle?
Yeah. And then he just chases her. You know what's crazy about that scene is that 2 replicants get killed in the space of about 5 minutes.
I know.
And that was cool.
Yeah.
It's also like a crazy film that in terms of Rachel ends up in the film.
Mm.
But she's not...
Rachel's the one that's a robot, but he protects and loves her.
But she really has nothing to do
with... She doesn't know she's a replicant.
She doesn't know. Well, she does, actually.
She finds out because he tells her.
Pretty quickly on, he tells her.
Forced love story, might I add.
It felt forced in the way that it was pretty rapey, where
that was the most ridiculous scene. I'm thinking... He's straight up raping her. Like, what the fuck?
Nah, she said she liked it though.
It was weird.
It was weird.
He made her say everything he was like wanting.
Yeah, it's a very...
Does that make her human though?
It makes her like a robot even
That's an interesting one.
I didn't get it.
She's odd. Her whole inclusion in the film feels a little
She's the latest replicant.
No, I understand with real that memories. She's the latest replicant. But I also understand, I feel like a lot of people would miss... Only on this viewing did I actually understand why he even went there to interview
her. Was it implied that like he knew the memories that she came from?
Yes. No, because they told him. Because he was going to test the new model.
But I thought that he was like...
It's implied that Tyrell then tells...
Harrison Ford.
Deckard that the memories that are inside her...
From like Tyrell's from his granddaughter or
his niece.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe Han Solo, Harrison
Deckard,
knew the niece or something and had like a connection, and that's why.
There's a fair few like implications of things that happen off screen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's a big one where he's suddenly talking about the memories and you're like,
how the hell would you know that?
Why does he know about the memories?
Well, he got told. I got that. Yeah. He got told, didn't he?
He gets told. It's pretty obvious that happens, isn't it?
Yeah. They just expect you to like piece it together.
Do they not actually say it in there?
I don't think so.
I thought they did say it. Maybe they don't. But it's definitely implied, 100%.
He says she's a replicant.
Yeah.
It took you over 100 questions to know.
Yeah, 100% at the start when he's talking to Tyrell. It took you over
100 because she didn't know she's a replicant.
Yeah.
So how can she lie that she's a replicant? Because she doesn't actually know herself. Okay.
Mm. But it is implied that she got her memories from a program that they were doing.
Because that's the big
thing. Yeah, they implemented it into her mind.
Yeah, that's the big thing that differentiates her from the other replicants is that she doesn't know, where all other replicants when they're born do know that they're replicants.
Yeah, which is stuffed.
Which, what a life.
Oh man, 4-year life. Oh.
4-year life.
Not useful for slaves, but then they have to because they get emotions. 4-year
life, I guess if they're not on Earth, you could make it longer because you wouldn't give a shit because no one that's a human's probably going to go off.
Yeah, but wasn't... Yeah, so
the whole problem was after 4 years, they began to develop their own emotion and they became more human, and they were like, "This is not good." Yeah. So they restricted it to 4 years, so they were still just slaves.
So they were still control.
It's really smart by us, you know.
I like
good work, Tyrell Cole.
Prepping.
Looking back at this film from like our pop culture as it is today, it's interesting how influential like a film like this is. Like, you look at something like Fallout 4, where it's all based around...
Future past
and these robots, and... I actually really like that they're straight up with a lot of the time where it's like, this guy's just a robot. He's a robot and you gotta get him. It's not like a, is he a robot?
Like, or the whole is he not a plot robot? Of the movie is there are four robots, kill them all.
Kill them all.
That's like all you gotta do.
Get him. I just get them. Yeah.
Because that made me understand it a lot. Like, the guy literally just spelled it out for me. He's like, all right, we need to hunt down these four replicants.
And I was yeah, like, they've oh, just come back to Earth and we need to fuck them.
Now.
So we move on from there. We've got Rachel. She's in the picture.
Yeah.
She's Deckard just drops that she's a robot to her, like, real quick.
And then she's like, crossed. Wait.
She takes crossed. It pretty well.
There's the whole thing where she's like, wait, what, really? And he's like, nah, you're not a replicant.
Yeah. Yeah. He drops it back.
It was just a bit of a joke.
I love when he's at the strip club and he just, like, rings her and he's like, oi, come down here. It's just like, that's not my scene.
Yeah, that's weird. That's why does he do that?
Because he's blind drunk.
Is he?
Yeah, he's been drinking heaps. He has that drink with the worm in it.
Didn't seem like it was blind drunk.
I know. Yeah, I thought
he was on like a mission and he was going, I need you down here to like help cover for me or something. I didn't even fucking know. Like, to help pretend you're my girlfriend so that I can get away with talking to this guy.
I feel like it was just a moment where they could be like, I know Deckard is developing feelings for her because he's here at this point and he's like, hey, just come down and hang out.
See, I didn't get it for a bit. I didn't get that.
There's a thing that I do not agree with this film, is the theories that come from it. Have you heard the theories, John, that Deckard is a replicant?
No.
It's a big one.
Ridley
Scott said he is a replicant.
And everyone else said, shut up, Ridley Scott.
I on this instance, I am...
The big things that supposedly point towards it, you know how he dreams of the unicorn? Or he has like that weird thing? Yeah, and then at the end, the origami guy leaves a unicorn in front of his house. It's supposed to be like, you know, he's his handler. He's a replicant. And I just...
See, my thought was the origami guy was a replicant, but that never... That was probably obvious to what everyone would think.
I always thought it was that not he was his handler, but it was that this guy just had access to the same memory database that Tyrell has, and he knows what memories that... or visions that...
that makes sense.
Deckard could have. But there's... Everyone's kind of shady to him. Like, that guy, Eduardo, his name is, the origami guy, he's a little shady to him.
My thought was, the way he was shady, I was like, this guy's not human, is he?
Yeah, he just seems a little odd, and you're like, okay, so I can see that I reckon Ridley definitely filmed it with the intention that Deckard is a...
Replicant,
but I feel like...
I think that also works with him being a shit-ass fucking...
Yeah, well, I agree.
During the final fight, what's his face? What's the main replicant? Roy. He's like, show me who you really are.
And yeah.
He's like, saying all that stuff. It's kind of like baiting him out.
There's a couple of lines that are a little... Yeah,
can someone explain Roy's motive in the end?
He just wanted to live. He wanted to live longer than 4 years.
Then why did...
He was at, like, the very end of his lifespan.
Yeah, so I feel like that's actually not explained.
What was with toying with Harrison Ford, Deckard, the whole time?
Because he, like, there's the bit at the start of the fight where...
Why doesn't he fight him? He kills everyone else before that.
His hand is, like, seizing up, and he's like, shit, it's starting, like, he's dying.
Yeah.
And that's when he, like, fucking does the Christ thing, where he puts the...
Yeah, why does he do that?
The symbolism.
It's symbolism.
The symbolism of Christ.
So it's not like,
so
I'm
going to
survive
it's
longer
great.
Doing this. I thought it was, like, a survival thing. Like,
it is a survival. It's
yeah,
a survival
to
thing to make
his
hand
up.
Stop freaking out.
Oh.
But it is more so a, just a... Good
and
use
like
of
he's like
in there.
He knows he's like literally about to die, and it's just like fucking with him at this point because he's gone crazy.
Yeah,
and then he just saves him at the end because it's just
like, I didn't realize really that was happening. I was thinking, all right, why aren't you fucking killing Harrison?
He breaks all his fingers and he's like, all right, I'll give you 5 seconds.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just like toying with
the
him.
The end scene is great.
Oh, it is great.
The film takes off at that point. That whole last
what
bit
did you think
when he's chasing Roy through the...
Of his whole monologue on the roof.
It's a good monologue.
I thought it was good, but I didn't...
What's it called? Tears in the Rain monologue?
Yeah, Tears in the Rain.
I don't think I understood it. Like, I saw him holding the dove, and then he dies, and then he releases it. And I was like, well, that clearly means something.
He's just like...
But I'm not understanding what it means.
Because he's like, I've seen that many stuff, and I love all these memories I have, and now they're gone.
Mm.
And it's like, does that make me human?
Sucker, loser.
Idiot, died.
Sucked in.
Mind you, the things that I read was that this movie was super influential from its visual effects and its cinematography.
Oh, yeah. The visuals and cinematography in this film are insane.
This movie made me appreciate lighting more than any movie.
Oh, they nail it. Shadows, 100% a noir film. It is, even though Deckard doesn't do much detective work, it is still a solid noir. It makes noir me think film. That
noir, it needs to be in colour. It shouldn't be in black and white.
In black and white, it's solid. It's actually...
It's a style, I guess.
It's just really hard to do in...
Oh, mind you, I saw the blue and oranges this whole movie.
Oh, man. Wait till you see 2049.
Definitely blue, and there was definitely orange in that film overall.
There's just so many great...
If you've got a colour map.
The, like, eye shots at the start, like those...
Where, like they're zoomed in on the Voight Cog.
Those super intense. Yeah, they're great.
I can't get over the shadows, though, and how they'd black out a room, and then they'd get light coming through the windows so perfectly. Oh, it was crazy.
I mean, Bill said it already, but 2049 and the use of light and shadow.
Oh, it's fucked.
I'm sure it's like times 10.
Insane.
Because, you know, it's directed by the dude that did Arrival as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and he really went to town with
no,
it.
He's no chump. Like, there's a whole... There's
backstory in between the first one and the second one. Mm. Is that what you're going for?
No, I was going for... The places where I feel like the lighting really stands out is Tyrell's first... when they first go to Tyrell's and they're in Tyrell's room and I've got three
places in mind.
You've got three places in mind.
I've got Tyrell's.
Yep.
Decker's apartment.
Yep.
There's that light that keeps pulsating.
Yep.
And Sebastian's place.
Sebastian's place... Before you get into his room, I love before you get into his room.
And they're all walking through that little stairwell. There's mannequins
everywhere, and there's stairwells, and there's water dropping everywhere, which reflects light around. Oh, it's
crazy. It's great. Is that like, fuck, I know they must have made that, but it's crazy.
Oh, Sebastian's place is a great setting for a final shot. I thought of that, because the streets,
all the streets are dope. It's like smoke and just rain. It's always raining.
Always raining.
And there's like the steam that comes up from the vents and like just people walking
like
on the street.
Like whenever the like police cars come up and there's just like a fucking shitload of smoke just below them.
And it's so obvious. You've got like just smoke.
You've got that heavily Japanese and Asian influence world where there's tons of neon. Even when he goes to the shop,
it's like a Japanese word.
Yeah.
The cop comes up to him and he's talking to him. He's like, what's he saying?
I'm just kidding. Yeah, he tries to get his translator to start, doesn't he? Yeah.
I think the thing that really stood out for me as well, tying onto that noir, is how the music was really like, it was noir jazz, but it had like synth all in the back of it the whole time that like really made it future.
There's so many scenes where it feels like a very like a neo-noir, where it's just like Deckard's sitting there reading a newspaper or something, it's raining, and there's lights, and you can almost imagine the voiceover over the top of it, even though it's not there. And
I tried to pick those scenes when I was watching it.
There. I can now that you've mentioned it. Like,
there's that many establishing shots where you could see it.
There's a lot of shots where it's just raining and there's nothing explained.
Yeah,
and
it's just people kind of looking around for a bit.
Him just walking to his destination or something.
That you would... I can understand where that'd an be weird. Would
I'd
be like,
almost like to see it though. I might watch it again.
I feel like it would make it was, like very noir-y.
It
still.
Was on Stan.
That's what I feel.
It was on Stan. I started watching it. And I wasn't sure if it was the director's cut or the final cut.
Yeah, there's the original director's and the final cut.
Yeah.
See, I feel that would make it really noir, just like with a jazzy tune in the back.
Yeah,
it does.
I know exactly what you mean.
I remember watching it, and it was like it felt very noir, but it did also at the same time feel wrong because it did feel like too explaining.
Yeah, where it's like I'm gonna go to this.
It almost felt too like it was playing to the conventions of noir too much.
I think that did
where
make
it was
me appreciate
like overhandedly noir. Where I was like, all right, just like pull it back a little bit.
Yeah, the fact that I had no clue really what the meaning of the ending was, which I probably would have gathered had I read a bit more about it.
Yeah, or like watched in a full viewing or
the whole idea second time. Yeah, I would say as like the movie is just like what makes you human and what doesn't.
Yeah, no.
Why aren't
these
people human?
Yeah,
that's like the whole thing. I guess that's the whole thing with 49 as well, isn't it?
Talking about talking about 2049.
I like it that you tried to.
Talking about 2049 briefly.
Mm.
I can't remember where I read it, but I remember reading that watching Blade Runner now and then watching 2049. Watching 2049 is like playing a remastered version of a video game you played as a kid. where you're watching it and you're like, oh yeah, this is just what it was like when I was a kid. But then you go back and you're like, oh no, this isn't as great as I thought it was. Mm. So like Blade Runner, like back then when they were watching it was like, this is really good and great. But then once you go back and watch it again, you're like, oh, well, he didn't do that much detective work. He kind of just ended up at places every now and then.
That's my number one.
It's still like really solid film. But yeah, I think...
Should we tell him the basic premise of 49?
I would say no.
No?
I would say no. Because
I was way in between it. Because like,
they give you almost nothing going into 2049. And like, almost everything is a reveal, which is great.
I do think he was a shithouse detective.
He was a horrible detective.
And that's my number one point.
He was just drunk and then he did that one thing and then he stumbled into everything else.
He's a shithouse.
Like, the only reason he knew to go to fucking...
I hope that 2049 really picks up on that. Mm. And I bet you they do.
That's again why the last scene is good, because Deckard is finally given some agency. He's like, oh, I've actually got to do some stuff to survive right now or I'm going to die.
Mm. The problem I have with Roy leaving him is that, like, Deckard was fucked. He was going to die. He was going to fall off the thing. Mm. And then Roy's like, oh, I'll save you.
No, because Roy's whole thing is, like, why did he save him? He wanted to live, and he was just like, why am I going to let this guy die? Like,
Roy gets to this
because
point.
It's like, it shows his humanity as well.
Roy hates fucking humans.
He doesn't hate humans. Roy doesn't he just wants to live.
Then why do you hate Tyrell?
He hates Tyrell because Tyrell programmed into him that he could only live for
what
4 years.
And that's Sebastian.
And then Tyrell makes all these bullshit things of like, we can't change you because he hated... he didn't hate Sebastian.
Sebastian was a means for him to get to Tyrell because he went to the eyeball guy beforehand. It's like, you got to see this guy to get to Tyrell.
Why did he kill Sebastian then?
Did he kill Sebastian?
Yeah, he does kill Sebastian. He does.
You don't see it, but it's implied.
They say that Sebastian,
he can't do anything to help
Sebastian
it,
and Tyrell are found together at the end.
I still think that
it comes over the
he goes
radio,
weirdly good in the end.
I think that he's never
really never bad.
That's a thing that you...
He killed people.
He kills.
You watch it back a second time with the viewpoint from his viewpoint.
And that
viewpoint.
Chick, his chick tries to kill Deckard as well.
Because Deckard's trying to actively kill
them.
Can we
talk about the chick when she goes full Ash mode from Alien?
Acrobatic.
But then she gets shot and she starts freaking out on the ground. She's going
Ash,
crazy.
Doesn't she?
She goes full Ash. Just
is that inspired by that?
I don't
probably.
Know. I guess so.
Brindley did it, didn't he?
Yeah, maybe he was like, I'll just throw
I
a little...
I got Flash... no, I think It, you know, the movie with the clown.
Yeah.
You know how there's that scene where there's all the clowns and it's hiding in there?
Mm.
Same scene with Blade Runner and how the chick is hiding in that puppet room.
What do you think of all the little midget puppets?
I didn't understand if they were, like, replicants or just...
I think
they're
supposed to
be
really, really basic replicants.
Yeah, really basic
probably
robots,
not to the point where they're replicants, but they're robots.
There's one that's looking at her like crazy.
Mm, he's like
she's
scared looking
he's
at
like,
her.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is he conscious or is he just retarded?
They're little creepy dudes. I don't like them.
There was one really funny scene that I just had a good chuckle at. When Deckard parks his car on the street and then this like group of midgets comes and like tries to strip his car. And then he's like, oi! And
that's
he just
great.
Gets up and goes,
he has to tell him
to
shoot. He's like, hey, get out of here. And they're like, they're like Jawas from Star Wars.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of really good production design in there. Just, like, weird little things. And you're like, look at those dudes running along.
The world is just built really well.
It the is. World
like,
is...
There's not much spoken about it, but it's still
not.
Just like...
The world is built
But
great.
You get
and
it really well.
That's with, like, the cinematography and, like...
All those coke ads just wanting a refreshing coke.
I saw
coke ads.
The
a lot of good
coke
ads.
Advertisements were crazy in there.
I always wonder, as coke... So, are you happy that you're in that film?
It's double-headed thing, because it's free advertising, but also it looks like you're just like a totalitarian organization.
It's about a dystopian future. So, is it good or not good?
I'm thinking they just pitch it out to any movie.
Get us in like, boys, you want to chuck a Coke in there? Go for it.
What was up with the Asian blimp? The Asian
that
blimp
was,
projection.
That's the whole thing of like the world's become Chinese like global. Lady.
Yeah.
So, like, it's that's why they had all, like, the fucking Asian language and shit everywhere. Like, everyone's just, like...
One language.
So, the idea is almost that the West didn't win out. Like, at the moment, our civilized... The world is very much led by the West in terms of the West's ideals. And our language, of English.
Okay.
But it's
in the future, like Asia future. Takes over.
Dystopian.
Yeah. So in like, a horrible
because thing. The Asians have taken over, it's dystopian.
So it's like a Chinese, Japanese
kind of thing.
She was like a geisha, Korean. Wasn't she?
They kept showing that shot of
She's like an advertisement to like go to one of the off-world colonies.
Yeah, I thought that was what it was.
Which like they really also show them. It's just being way better than like shithole Earth. That just sucks.
But they don't show. He comes back
to see Tyrell.
They don't show vision of the off-world colonies, which I really like.
They just talk about how good they are.
They never show it, which I kind of like.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Because I feel like if you show it and it doesn't look, it doesn't look good enough. You're like, oh well, that just looks shit as well.
They like, just focused on making Earth look like ultra shit.
Yeah, just make Earth look shit.
Earth did look shit.
I've bought into. Your story.
Were they influenced so heavily by Star Wars, you reckon?
I
feel like they had episode 2 before episode 2 of Star Wars. They had
Like the galactic with Coruscant.
Just with Coruscant. Coruscant with the whole like lanes of space people flying in the air and how
Water to it. That was probably one of the first film where a city like that was shrunken.
And I feel like Attack of the Clones kind of copied it.
So typical. In
their way. Even though I feel like a lot of Blade Runner inspiration was probably drawn from Star Wars.
Yeah, but not from the first one, which is the only one that would have come out beforehand.
No.
Right?
No, Empire. Like all of them.
All of them probably were out by then. Maybe. When was Return of the Jedi? Return of the Jedi was 02, I think.
Yeah, man, they were all out.
Or not 02, but 82. 82.
Get out of here.
All right, boys, so we want to get into our stories.
Yeah, I reckon.
Single story.
Good luck, Tommy.
Hey, thanks.
You're on the clock.
You got the spotlight, bro.
It's going to be a wild one.
You've got that light, that blimp light on you. Sorry, just trying to relate it.
No, yeah, I love it, bro.
Next scene.
Get us, like, looking like
she flashed her curves as she danced.
That's a butt shot.
Yeah.
Whoa.
We'll link it in the link dump.
We don't have a link dump.
We will.
Alrighty, boys. We're back.
Is link dump like link and then paste a post a shit?
Nah, it's just like a list of links you have.
You just have a list of links.
It looks like a poo.
No. You thought there was just a bunch of links to poo going.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be.
You just never know.
Just not on our podcast.
Well, we keep it professional. We review artsy movies.
Like?
The King's Speech.
King's Speech.
That would be a really funny
next week's
one.
Movie. All right, guys, let's wrap this up.
Can't do King's Speech.
Wrap it up.
It's already a parody of James Bond. How can you do King's Speech? Anyway, boys.
What are you talking about?
What? It's already a parody film. All right. My story is called Big Rick Deckard.
Big Rick.
Big Rick.
You sure you didn't mean Deckard. Big Dick Deckard?
No.
Big Rick Dickard.
I mean his name.
I'm already getting my tongue tied.
I know, it's a bit of a tongue twister.
What's the initials of that?
BRD.
Bird.
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 Anywho.
Right.
Yeah, sorry, I really prolonged that.
All right, let's go. Oh, I'm sorry. That usually doesn't happen, I promise. Said Deckard, as he squirmed from side to side nervously. Oh, it's not that. Sighed Rachel as she rolled off the detective and lit up a cigarette.
Rolled off the detective.
Then what is it, babe? You know I'd do anything for you.
Super attached.
Well, you know, it's just that I've had bigger. She replied sheepishly. I knew it, sneered Deckard.
He's just like, how big is that Tyrell stick?
As he bolted upright and looked suspiciously around the room. Whose was it? Tyrell's? Nah, man. Me and him were nothing. He tried to get some sugar a couple of times, but you know, a girl's body is her own. So true. Smiled.
Oh, he's loving it in the air.
He still doesn't have the heart to tell us.
He's a bit of a feminist.
He's like,
you know what?
Yeah.
Then who was it? Who had the giant hog?
He's back.
Such a flip.
He's so insecure as well.
Shit, man. Them Nexus Sixes, scoffed Rachel as she took a drag. They're not just called that because of the generation, you know. I knew it, yelled Deckard as he launched out of the bed and quickly grabbed his phone and an address book. "What are you doing?" said Rachel curiously. She climbed out of bed and the sheets majestically slid off her hot bod.
Damn.
Deckard had to bite his fist. Yeah, real Leonardo DiCaprio in Wolf of Wall Street.
That guy from Spy Kids.
Antonio Banderas.
Yeah, Antonio Banderas. He does it as well. "I'm calling in a favour," he yelled as he furiously flipped through the book and then dialed a number. "Hey, Richard, mate, I need a hand."
Dickers.
Well, you probably know what I'm talking about. After hastily dressing, the pair made their way to an unmarked warehouse on the edge of the LA slums.
He brought Rachel with him.
Yeah, bought Rachel with him.
He's just like, "I need you to see who did this to confirm it for me."
Once at the door, Deckard pressed the doorbell, and "Keep Their Heads Ringing" by Dr. Dre began to play as the door mysteriously opened by itself.
Ring, ding, dong.
Ring, and that's just playing as they're walking through the warehouse.
The right Hambles now. Asked me about this song earlier.
So yeah, I asked him. I was like, "What?" I searched "Ring Ding Dong" and didn't find it.
I was just like, "Is there something I'm missing?"
Couldn't remember what the name was. The pair slowly waded through the heavy smoke that came flowing out and through the dank warehouse until they found the source of the fat beats. As they rounded a corner, they saw a large man standing over a table, seemingly performing surgery over a naked human. A snake around his neck spun around to look at Deckard and Rachel.
It's Voldemort.
Is it a real snake or a fake snake?
We'll soon find out. Cool, we'll soon find out, mate. "Hey, Richie, what's going on, bro?" yelled Deckard over the tunes as he approached the surgeon. "Big Rick Deckard. Good to see you, my man."
It's so, like, close, you know.
"What can I do for you?" said Rich as he came in and slapped Deckard some skin. "Yeah, nothing much, bro. Hey, is that a real snake?" said Deckard as he pointed towards the dude on the table's dick.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
"Nah, man, I'm a Nexus 6. Name's Chuck," said the replicant on the table as he waved nervously.
Retire him!
As he waved nervously to Deck and Rachel. "Was having a bit of trouble with the old one-eyed monster, you know, and Richard, he's in the business, or at least was." "They don't call me King Dong for nothing," laughed Richie King Dong Dickens.
King Dong.
"Sure, Tyrell fired me for my mad dick experiments. But tell me, what babe doesn't want a man with three dicks?" He winked at Rachel and she eyed him up and down, then did the Beyonce no finger move.
Oh!
"See, that's the thing, Dickie. I gotta get the rig upgraded. It's not pleasing the missus."
Is that Mr. Ford?
Pleaded Deckard, yeah. "Sorry, bro. I've only worked on replicants. Their bodies are designed to carry that massive weapon. I just don't even know if it's possible. I'm willing to try anything, bro. Please, I'm desperate." "God damn it," shouted King Dong as he pounded his fists on the table, barely missing Chuck's new dick. "I'll give it a shot, just for you and your hot missus here." Deckard and Rachel embraced each other and began passionately kissing.
Oh.
When there was a sudden loud noise behind
it. Almost seems like Rachel doesn't really care too much. Like, she said at the start.
She would like the upgrade, though.
Oh.
Like, if it's possible that he could get a replicant dick. She's all up for it.
Yeah, well, go for it.
And Deckard's got a guy. passionately kissing when there was a sudden loud noise behind them. Richard slowly looked up from the ground and stared into space. "You fellas weren't followed, were you?" Suddenly, SWAT members burst down through the roof on grappling hooks and began screaming, "Get on the ground! Get on the ground!" as the blaring of police sirens and lights could be seen outside.
"No.
It's the fucking cops!" yelled Rich as he pulled out a handgun.
Oh, like, but it was like, "You weren't followed, were you?"
He knew. He's been searched for a while. But he was quickly capped in the face.
Oh, fuck!
A SWAT guy quickly tackled Deck and Rachel and smashed their faces into the ground. "I'll kill all you pigs!" yelled Deckard like a wild animal.
They're like, "No, you're one of us."
One of them, yeah.
He's not anymore, man. This is post, you know, he's on the run.
Malone.
This is post Malone. He's got Rachel.
They're
hunting him. Where am I? A figure slowly came up behind him. And a second later, an origami sculpture of some bangers and mash gracefully dropped to the ground next to Deckard.
He just, like, crumpled some paper and was like, "That's bangers and mash."
"I knew this would be a downfall," said Eduardo with a sigh. And a moment later, he pulled the trigger. The end.
Wait. So Eduardo got his SWAT team into Big Richo Dicker's bloody place.
Yeah, they followed
killed
him.
Killed them all.
Mate, bloody Eduardo, he got two birds with one stone. They've been searching for bloody...
Rachel and Deckard.
And then they've also been searching for bloody King Dong Dickens.
Bloody Dickers Dong Dick.
I love that Eduardo's like his whole thing. It's like, if you're not happy with the rig you got, too bad.
I love that Eduardo knew that Harrison Ford was eventually going to seek out the dick manufacturer. And he was like, oh, just waiting.
Oh, the replicant's like, yeah, man.
Look.
I really wanted to put the replicant in there more, because like, once I gave him lines, I was like, he's a nice guy.
He's just on the table.
He's just a rogue replicant.
Yeah.
He's got back to Earth.
He wasn't trying to kill anyone.
Not trying to kill anyone. He's trying just to like, nigga, dick. He was probably like a Nexus 4. Yeah, like, or a Nexus 1.
It would have been
like,
really funny
they
to
They weren't
explore.
Worrying about dicks back then in Nexus 1 generation. No,
they didn't have the capability.
They didn't, but... King Dong Dickens, he's done his experiments.
Apparently the Nexus
he'll put a
fucking,
dick on you.
Whatever Rachel is, she wants the bigger one.
She's a six.
She's a six as well, but she's like a more advanced.
She's
six.
Like a six with a mod on top. She's
like
got a mod.
She's like
got a mod.
Like a high.
She knows what she wants.
It would have been really funny if like this concept was put into the actual Blade Runner, like the four Revlons came back to Earth just to get bigger dicks.
First thing, I was like, fuck, what am I going to write for my story this week? And then first thing, he goes to the eye guy. I was like, all right, I've got it. Because maybe there's
dicks.
A specialist that makes the dicks.
I love that
Dugo's
gonna
make
tough
dicks
as,
for him.
As tough as fucko. He's like, but I like that he's also like, he's a bit taken away by them arriving. And then he kind of realizes later, he's like, hang on. You guys weren't followed, were you? Then that's when it all goes down. Straight after that, it just all turns to shit.
He just, like, catches a glimpse in the corner of his eye, like a flashlight in the roof.
Yeah, I want, like, the stories in between the story I just wrote and when King Dong Dickens got fired from his job as the dick manufacturer. Like, he's had to go underground.
He went underground, yeah.
He still
went black market.
He still wants to make dicks,
he's really
though.
Passionate about making dicks.
He loves making dicks.
He went to replicants instead of humans.
He's trying to find replicants so he can keep on making dicks for him, but he's a bit experimental. We made the guy with three dicks.
He said it was a success.
Even though Rachel rolled
Rachel
her
didn't
eyes.
Think so. She was like, I don't know about three she dicks, man. Her. I can't handle that.
Slut.
I like that it starts with them in bed, though.
I thought that'd be really funny. I was like, how can I condense the story real fast?
You literally start, like, one of the opening lines is like, I don't know if it's big enough or something. What was it?
I think that's the third line. The first line is, I'm sorry, that usually doesn't happen, I promise.
Yeah, that was like, immediately my thought was like, sexual, surely.
Great opener as well.
It's within four
it's a great
lines.
Great opener.
Within four lines, she says, it's just not big enough.
That's hilarious.
That good story. Well, good twist on the Blade Runner formula.
Oh, thanks, boys. Thanks. Well, that's the only story for today.
I liked it.
Let's wrap it up.
I thought it was great. Check 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
And commence.
How
boys.
Are we?
Another episode wrapped.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wrap
yeah,
it
like
in.
A neat little
put it under the tree. Give it to that kid in Christmas morning.
Like a bow.
Like a bow on
Saturday.
Saturday.
Oh.
Boys, do you reckon I'm a replicant?
No, you're not.
Your memories are implanted.
I don't think Deckard is either.
No, I don't think he is either.
I agree. And if there's anything we can come to
Ridley
that
Scott's...
we all agree on this podcast, Ridley Scott, he's a man.
He's lost his
seriously,
mind.
Seriously, he should just stick to Alien.
No, get he Alien. Reckons Covenant is the best Alien movie.
Well, he should
he's
stick
insane.
To nothing.
What about Crochet? Could he get into Crochet?
No.
He'll ruin that as well.
He'll ruin that and he'll ruin everything.
Gardening?
Could be alright. Gardening. Maybe.
He made my nonna's pasta and he ruined it.
What? Cooking.
Yeah. Gnocchi and cannelloni mixture. Sorry, guys. Just talking about promos of MasterChef Australia 2018.
So, boys, final thoughts. Blade Runner.
Cool movie. Great cinematography. Excellent.
Solid.
Composition.
Solid. Solid.
Solid.
Solid.
With some problems, but solid.
With some problems. I think, you know what?
It ain't perfect, but bloody hell, it's a great movie.
Films have their problems.
Yep.
And what? Can we blame them?
2049.
No, we problems. Can't blame the film, but we can blame Ridley Scott. Ridley Scott, get to crocheting or gardening or maybe cooking.
No, because it'll ruin them.
It'll ruin that. Find something else. All right. Blade Runner. It's all done.
It's so good
we
movie.
Can, we can take a deep breath, a sigh.
John, what's on the agenda next
week? Outlander 2008. We all remember it. We all love it.
When
we
you said when you said let's watch Outlander, I was like, in my head, I was like, this sounds like a shitty film from the 80s.
It's going to be like, terrible.
But 2008.
Yeah, man, it's shit's modern.
2008 feels...
That's the same year Batman might have come out.
It feels...
Like... I don't know if it did come out.
I mean, I got no proof to say it didn't. Inception, so it probably maybe? Did.
Could have. Who knows?
But I feel like there's a lot of mediocre films from that time.
Man, this probably is Snakes below mediocre.
Because I associate that time with like films like...
Snakes on a Plane.
Mega Shark vs. Giant Octopus.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
and like one. Really mediocre films.
On oh, well, this is probably like below that. Level.
Below
Scary Movie 1?
Yeah. Below that.
Divided by 3.
Scary Movie at third.
Yeah, correct.
That's what you're in for with Outlander. Wrap her up.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm looking forward to it.
I know nothing about it, so...
That's it. We don't really...
John, don't really final like, thoughts on Blade Runner as a first-time viewer?
No, we already done that.
Yeah, it's alright, man. It's cool. We already
we
done
like,
it.
Usually, like, promote, like, the social medias Bucket. Or something, but we don't fucking...
We haven't done that in yonks!
Or we'll have, like, a meltdown or something.
Do we
something.
Even have
we're
a social?
Not having one of those.
Yeah, look forward to our tweet in 2019.
I'll type that up now.
A long time away,
we'll
man.
Say
that's
shit's
months.
Banger. February 4th, 2019.
Now we're talking like 9 months.
NFL, Bachelor.
I reckon Sam Darnold.
NBA.
Would...
NBA.
Can boys. I make a prediction?
Yep. Hit up.
Warriors win.
Whoa.
Boys.
That's the safest bet. Safest bet.
Oh, Sam man, Darnold, number one overall draft pick.
Yeah, okay. NFL. Good prediction so far.
Yeah, I'd give it to
Saquon him. Barkley, number four overall.
Tiger Woods makes a comeback next year.
Fuck he made off. A comeback now and he... Lost. Became like 40.
Well, that's not a comeback then, is
Robert
it?
Robert Downey Jr. ODs. Back.
Who's getting Robert Downey?
Avengers Robert Infinity Downey War.
Could be Infinity good. War, fellas. Who's going to die?
Who do you reckon will get the...
don't
who,
do that.
Who do you reckon will get the magic gem?
Stone Hulk.
Hulk?
Yep.
Hulk's right. Got the Hulkbuster thing.
Alright, what about the Lust gem? Who's getting that?
Oh, Black Outlander. Widow. Because she's the biggest slut.
Outlander. Black Widow.
Lust gem.
The lust gem.
Fucking Big Dick Rick.
So, oh. That was the signal.
What are you, I don't know what
yeah,
you're pointing
what are you
at.
Doing, Bill?
He's seriously. Pointing at his laces
the,
for some reason.
The signal was to press the space
get
bar.
Get out of here, you maverick tosser. Stop.